this morning as we study the Word of God. We often hear stress on how much prayer is needed, of how good it is to pray for those around us, to pray for those who are sick, pray for those who are traveling, pray for the efforts that we have here at church. But how do we see God answering that? How does He answer prayer? You know, most people live this life thinking that everything that happens to us is just pure chance, or only time and chance happening at all. That there's nothing in control, there's nothing to help us, there's nothing that is with us. And how sad that is. Did God just wind up His world and set it in motion and cease to be active in it? Did He cease to be active in it after His Son come to die for us? No. Or do we have a loving Father who's all-powerful, who is still active in the lives of His children and responsive to their pleas? We know that we have a God that will listen to us. We know that we have a God that will comfort us, who will shelter us, who will protect us. But sometimes we lose faith, or we quit communicating with God because we don't see Him answering our prayers. We don't see Him responding to us. We don't see the providence of God. You know, providence simply means that there has been preparations for the future. And we know that God has prepared for our future. And He has laid out the plan for us to follow. We also know that that is really evidence of His divine power, of what He has done for us in the past and what He continues to do for us. But it's also a frugal management of laying things out for us and providing for us. In times past, even as we study the Bible, we know that He had miraculous providential interaction with people. And sometimes that's what we expect to see. We kind of want to be like Elijah was in 1 Kings chapter 18. As he's standing before and he's challenged the idol's priests to offer their sacrifice, to call on their God to accept their sacrifice, chiding them to hurt themselves, to maybe he's going on vacation. But in chapter 36, it says, "And as time came to pass at the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, 'Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known that thou art a God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and I have done these things, all these things of thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that the people may know that thou art the Lord God, and hast turned their heart, and thou hast turned their heart back again.' Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench." Do we expect when we pray to God that He's going to send fire down from heaven and consume? That He's going to respond that way miraculously? God doesn't do that for us today. Because He has gave us what we need, and that is the Word of God. He's gave us the Bible. He's gave us the ability to read and to learn. He's gave us the path to heaven. And surely He doesn't need to have something like this to prove to us that He is God after all He's done. But even in that same passage in verse 41, you know, there's been a long time drought going on, all the water has dried up and there's been no rain. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there's a sound of abundance of rain. That shows you the faith that Elijah had. Because we see as Elijah leaves, what he does as he goes to the top of Carmel, he casts his stuff down upon the earth and put his face on his knees. And he tells his servant to go now and look towards the sea. He went and looked, and there was nothing. He sent that servant back 7 times before that servant saw a little cloud in the far off land. And Elijah knew the prayer had been answered. But he was there telling Ahab, there's a sound of abundant rain. And there was not a cloud to be seen. He had the faith that when he prayed to God, it would be answered. But as we look at the scripture and we see how God answers prayers, we first have to recognize that God will answer in His infinite wisdom. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 at verse 7. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 at verse 7. In the latter part of that verse it says, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Even as Samuel was selecting the next king, Samuel was still looking on the outward appearance of these sons. But God, in His infinite wisdom, wasn't looking on the stature, the strength, the might. He was looking at the heart. When we put our request to God, we have to know that we don't have perfect knowledge. And sometimes we ask for things that we don't really need. But God, in His wisdom, knows what we need. But He also knows how we play out in His plan. And He knows what is best for us, and He knows what's best for someone else, and He knows what is the best situation to come. Even as we look in James chapter 4 at verse 3, we also have to come to the opinion that when we ask, what is the real reason why we're asked? Well, I want to pray for $1 million. Well, why do you want $1 million? Are you really going to take $1 million and go out and try to stop hunger in a third world country and do that? Or why do you want that $1 million? James 4, verse 3, you ask and you receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. Often when we pray, all we think about is me. What I need, what I think I need, what I want, and where I want to be. We're not thinking about what God wants. We're not looking about how we can help someone else. We're thinking about ourselves. Because that's what we like praying about. But what God wants us to do as we go to Him is rely upon His infinite wisdom as we pray that He will know enough to answer us the way that is best. We also know that when God comes to answering prayers, He often answers in a way that we never have imagined. We ask for wisdom, we ask for patience, we ask for increased faith, happiness, health. but we don't understand it when we're praying for patience and God sends us trouble. Or we're praying for wisdom and it gives us something difficult to overcome. What has God done? He gave us what we asked for. If we use it. And so much, this is what it comes down to. Is when we pray for things, sometimes it's up to us to be faithful as Elijah and hear the abundance of rain. We pray for weight loss. What do we want? Do we want the miraculous providential treatment of, boom, I'm down to 160 pounds? Do we really believe that's going to happen? But why is it when we pray for weight loss, we don't want to pass daylight donuts? Okay? Part of the answered prayers often relies upon us to have enough faith that we can do it. And it's believing that when God answers our prayers, and we pray for these things, what does He tell us to do? Learn self-control. Eat what's healthy. Eat what's right. Most people, when their cholesterol is high, what do they want? They want a drug to lower it. But you pray to God and you ask for your cholesterol to be lowered, what do you got to do? You got to give up that cream. You got to give up that other stuff that raises your cholesterol. It's hard to do. But there's ways to have that prayer answered. But it requires faith on our part that if we do what we're supposed to, that things will take care of themselves. We can't pray to God that we will not get fat and we eat everything we see. We have to have realization that He will answer our prayers, but it may not be the way we think. He'll help us with our self-control. He'll help us in our fight. He will give us the things to get us the wisdom, the patience. He will give us things to increase faith. But it's going to be trials and tribulations because that's what brings it. We also have to realize that sometimes God answers in ways we don't like. Sometimes God answers it with a simple no. We're asking for something. We don't realize what we're asking for. We don't understand what wealth will do to us, but God does. We don't understand why someone gets sick, can get sicker and sicker and sicker and dies. What is the purpose in that? It's not within our wisdom to understand that. In James chapter 1, excuse me, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 at verse 7. If we read what Paul is writing, he says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Why was Paul given a thorn in the flesh? Was it to hurt him? Was it to hinder them? It was to keep them humble. It was to keep him from the temptation of what comes with being powerful, becoming mighty, of becoming special. He gives them something that would not cause him to exalt himself above others. In verse 9 he says, in verse 8, "For this thing I sought the Lord thrice, that it may depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of God may rest upon me. Therefore, I take a pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessaries, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For I am weak, then I am strong. Do we realize sometimes in our weakness we are the strongest example to those around about us? Some of the best people of faith here are the elderly here who shows up when they don't feel well. When they don't feel like coming, but yet they come. Because it strengthens others. We don't want to get sick. But how much example can you be if you're sick and you still praise God? You still glory Him. You talk to the doctors. You talk to the nurses. You talk to your friends about God. You don't focus upon how pitiful you are. But you focus on how you can use that to be an example to others who's going through similar things. Yes, you pray to be made well, but is that what is best for everybody else? God in His infinite wisdom knows. But it's up to us to always be people of faith in no matter what situation we find ourselves. To keep praying to God with full assurance that He will answer us. But it may be no. Because there's something else we need to be doing. We still need to be people of faith. We still need to put up with that thorn in the flesh. We still need to get up every morning and do what God wants us to do, even in the face of adversity. When we think about how He answers us, never is imagined, or something else. In James 1, verse 2 and 3, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation, knowing that this, the trying of your faith, worketh the patience. And let patience have the perfect work, that you may be perfect the entire, wanting nothing." It goes back when He answers that or substitutes it for something else, that we have faith that it's all going to be okay. Even as Nathan mentioned this morning, in Matthew chapter 26, at verse 39, as Christ was in the garden, He fell on His face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." Christ knew what lay before Him, but Christ still wanted that cup to pass. But He said something that we need to really understand. "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt." When we pray to God, we need to realize that our prayers are not answered the way we want to, but how God will. And we need to be content with that. And we need to have that in our minds, that we may not like the answer. We don't like the answer of when we pray for health, that we have to go on a special diet, that we have to go on a special exercise program, that we have to do something to help. But probably the hardest way God answers a prayer is by saying not yet. Because God's on a different timetable than we are. God has a plan, but our prayers are answered by saying not yet. In 2 Peter chapter 3, at verses 8 and 9, it's a section that many people struggle with. What Peter is telling us, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is the Lord with 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Why is he saying one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day? Because God's eternal. He has a whole different schedule than we do. He's got a lot more time to work on the problem. And it may not be time for that problem to be solved yet. But what we have to rest assured is that God knows best. We can be very impatient. We can want an immediate response. But it may not be the right time. But God in His infinite wisdom knows best. And it will, well, it shouldn't affect our faith. How many people have lost their faith because their prayers aren't answered the way they want them to be answered? If we look back in the book of James, in chapter 5, verse 16, when we are instructed to confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Do we believe that? If we believe it, then why is it so hard for us to confess our faults one to another? To confess our shortcomings, to confess our wants, our desires, our problems. But He tells us that we need to pray for one another, that we need to pray for strength, we need to pray for endurance. The outcome may be different than we desire, but we have to let God what we need. We have to let Him know what we need, what we want, and how He can help us. In James chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a sea, like a wave of the sea driven by the wind and tossed. For let not a man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A lot of times when we pray, do we talk as Elijah did and say, I hear abundance of rain and there's not a cloud in the sky? Can you have that much faith, nothing wavering, that when God says something that you have faith that it will happen? We can't doubt when we pray. Because a man like that will never have his prayer answered. We can't just ask God once and think we never have to ask again. in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask Him anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whomsoever He asks, we know that we have the petitions that were desired of Him. Do we ask according to His will or our will? We have to know that we have to be a praying people, but we have to be a people of faith. And as David was saying this morning, we have to study the Word, we have to do the Word, and then we have to teach the Word. If we study and we don't walk the walk, nothing we do will be profitable. And if we don't walk the walk, we can't teach it. We have to be a people who believe that prayer is effective, but we have to understand that God answers our prayers in many different ways. And it's not for ourselves to question it. It's for us to get up and do what we need to do in order to have those blessings that God has given to us. If we pray for happiness, how do we expect God to make us happy? Do we really know what happiness is? We think, well, if the Lord wants me to be happy, He's going to give me this money, He's going to give me this car, He's going to give me this house. But if we look at it according to God's will, how has He told us that we're going to be happy? With salvation. With knowing that you're a child of God and you're living as a child of God and that you conduct yourself as a child of God, that is where true happiness is. And He wants us to be happy. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 8, Jesus said, "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." When we ask according to God's will He not answer us what we need to do? How we need to do it? When we need to do it? When we ask Him for salvation, He will show it to us, and He will open that door for us. We just have to be faithful. But you know one surefire way that the Lord will never answer your prayer? It's because you never pray. Or you pray once every 3 years when things are bad. He wants that relationship with you. He wants that closeness with you. He wants you to learn of His will and accept His will. And then you will be content with however God answers your prayer. If you want to have the ability to pray to God with a true faith as God wants you to pray to Him, you can't do it with sin in your life. You can't do it if you're not a child of God. But you can't do it if you're harboring sin in your life and you've got that sin separating you from God. You will never have the closeness you need. So if you want a true prayer life to God, you have to come to Him. And you have to obey Him. And you have to get forgiveness so you can have a close relationship with Him, to walk in His light as He is instructed. If you have need, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.